good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss Native issues and events here on Native Roots Radio. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Hold up just a minute, Robert. I'm looking for which portion of the show is brought to you by. Do you happen to have that on hand?
We miss Wendy, and
we'll
double it up next time. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good to me. Sorry about that one.
In the second segment, but that's okay. I'll just say this portion is brought to you by Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. Hey. We are our biggest sponsor here, and we're partners with AM950, Devil Radio down in Madison. I just want to say, Ogama and Lewis, before I get going here, or we get going with the news, it's just always a privilege to have such great partners bringing out all our Native issues all over Turtle Island and spreading it out in the airwaves. And I always feel like a king when I'm down in Madison and able to broadcast there, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like you have a good time when you're over in Madison, too. You get to don the suit and, catch up on.
I'm waiting for Lewis to give me a big belt buckle and some cowboy boots so I really look fuzzy.
Hey, special shout out to Devil's Radio for giving you guys some free shirts as well.
Yeah, exactly. I always like those free shirts. Hey, Wendy's got the day off. She's hanging out with some friends and a much needed vacation from holding down the ship here. We do Native news and events here, and you don't hear that or see that anywhere else around Turtle Island. So really pleased to have Lewis and Ogama work with us and talk about Native issues from a grassroots position here. And Ogama, why don't you start us off with the news?
Absolutely. Bonjour, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuikwe, and I am an enrolled member at Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I want to start off today with just a quick shout out to the Red Lake Nation. Just yesterday, they were able to break ground at the location of their new radio facility. They are going to be WRLN on 105.3 FM in northern Minnesota. So shout out to you guys. Pretty excited for my tribe to have a radio station. So I just wanted to throw that in there before I get to the real news. The real news is that in a press release from August 4th, so just yesterday, the first Rights of Nature enforcement case was filed in tribal court to enforce treaty guarantees. What happened is that the White Earth Nation filed action against the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to stop diversion of the 5 billion gallons of water for Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline. And the reason that they did that was on behalf of the wild rice, or the Manuman. White Earth Band of Ojibwe and several tribal members are asking the state of Minnesota to stop the DNR from allowing the Enbridge Corporation to use 5 billion gallons of water for the construction of the Line 3 pipeline. Since this is the first case brought in a tribal court to enforce the rights of nature and the first rights of nature case brought to enforce treaty guarantees, this is really big news. The first case that ever was a rights of nature case was filed in Florida, I believe, just this April. So what's happening right now is, we all know that the trees cannot speak for themselves. The water cannot speak for itself. So what's happening now is we're seeing indigenous people and other environmentally conscious allies stepping up and taking on that responsibility to speak for this, that which cannot speak for themselves. So basically what happened is in 2018, the business committee of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe had adopted a Rights of Manuman tribal law, which therefore recognized wild rice as having the rights to exist, flourish, regenerate, and evolve, as well as inherent rights to restoration, recovery, and preservation. And this happened in 2018, and now this action was brought forth to both enforce the rights of the Manuman pursuant to the tribal law, as well as the tribal treaty rights held by tribe and tribal members. The treaty rights are recognized in the 1825, 1837, 1854, and 1855 treaties with the Chippewa and U.S. government, guaranteeing the rights of the tribe to gather wild rice and other aquatic plants from public waters on treaty lands. So this is exciting. This is huge, and I'm so excited to see where this is going to go. I'm going to spare you all the details of the summons and the full complaint. The full complaint is a little more than 100 pages. I did skim through that today. It's beautifully written. It's very powerful, and it's very makes a very good case for the water, and that's exactly what we need to do here, is to make a good case for the water when it cannot speak for itself. I mean, how are you feeling about this, Robert and Lewis?
Well, anything that preserves Mother Nature and things like that, we're all for. Lewis?
You know, I was on a TikTok live yesterday for a couple hours, and I'm telling you, people are energized, they're encouraged, they're enthusiastic about protecting our water for the seventh generation. And that makes me excited as an older person to see our younger people get out there and actually make a change happen.
Exactly. And Lewis, if we can, there was a little thing that was circulating around with a text number. Is that right? That you were promoting last night on TikTok. Why don't you give that out while you're here?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those that are interested in texting your senator, which is really, really important to do, especially considering, the gravity of it, you can text 50409 to P-U-C-Z-G-E. That's 50409. And then you text P-U-C-Z-G-E. And it takes a couple seconds, and it'll email your exact senator. And we want to give a shout out to Water Protector for actually getting that started. Yesterday, we had a couple thousand actually sign up, Ogma. Really good news.
That is really great news. So one more time for everybody listening. If you cannot be on the front lines with Indigenous Water Protectors to help stop Line 3, text P as in Papa, U as in Uniform, C as in Charlie, Z as in Zulu, G as in Gulf, and E as in Echo to 50409. And that will send you a written email to your local government officials. It's really exciting. And that is a good, quick, and easy way for you to help stop Line 3 from where you're at.
Wow. Great news. Great news. What else do you got, Ogama? We got a minute. We're gonna cut short the first segment about 30 seconds because we have this awesome interview with Bobby Wilson, and you've done a little editing. So our fun free-for-all is rated G again. So,
Yeah. I did have to do a little editing for this interview, but it was not a problem. It was really great. The last two things I want to mention is that the Biden administration is seeking nominations for the Not Invisible Act Commission, which is a commission to address missing, murdered, and trafficked Native Americans. So they are looking for nominations for that, preferably Native American people to apply or to be nominated. And what they're going to be working on is reducing violent crimes against American Indians and Alaskan Natives and address the longstanding crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous people. And then something that's upsetting a lot of non-Indigenous people today is that the Washington football team announced that its new mascot wouldn't have any connection to the Native theme mascot, and it also banned all headdresses and face paint from its football field. So there's been a little bit of backlash for that, but I can tell you here. We're pretty excited about it.
Oh, boo-hoo. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to come back here after this short break. Stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and why don't we take this quick look at this interview we had with Bobby Wilson from Rutherford Falls. Let's take a listen.
Well, I'm really excited to have Bobby Wilson. You know, a 1491er, also Rutherford Falls, and he's got his hands involved in a lot of different things in Hollywood. And I'm just really excited. I want to talk a little bit about what Bobby's doing and, you know, how this experience was with Rutherford Falls and all those great things. I'm just really excited to have Bobby Wilson, the character of Wayne, from Rutherford Falls and the writer in the first season. Welcome, Bobby. And you're from the Twin Cities. That makes our heart proud too. Great. Thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Mr. Pilots.
That's right. Well, that's right. We crossed paths back in the 90s there as a teacher. I think I was going outside to smoke a cigarette, and I think you
were. What was I?
Yeah, you were coming in from smoking a cigarette, so what different times we had. But, hey, really excited. I love your work, and really you wrote a show. You wrote one of the shows of Rutherford Falls, but also your character's fun. And tell us a little bit how you got hired or how they found you.
Yeah, I the showrunner, Sierra Teller Ornelas, she's Navajo. I had done like a panel with her that she was a moderator of that was centered around like the work of the 1491s back in Santa Fe. And that was years ago. And like we kind of had crossed paths here and there, but you know, like Indian country is very small. So, I would just kind of always see her around, and I knew that she was writing in Hollywood. And I always was like, every time I got to see her, I'd be like, how come nobody like knows who you are? Like, you know, I go to all these Indian conferences with the 1491s to do, like performances and what have you. And like every time people are like talking about representation and I bring up Sierra Teller Ornelas, being a network comedy writer, people are like, who's that? I never heard of that. And I'm like, well, freaking like get familiar, you know, like she's a beast and she's been working at this for a long time. And so she got her own show with Mike Schur and Ed Helms. And she had reached out to a couple of us from the 1491s. We had written a play called Between Two Knees at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon. Yeah. It's a familial intergenerational love story that takes place beginning at the massacre of Wounded Knee and culminating at the occupation of Wounded Knee. So everything that happens between those knees is what we see. And she thought she says she loved it. She says she loved it. And so she reached out and asked if I had any writing samples because she had a show that she was trying to put a writing staff together for. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. I have stuff that I've written just by myself. So I sent it to her. I basically had a job interview with her and Ed Helms. And then on my birthday, November 3rd, 2019, she sent me a message again, all completely over Instagram, saying that I was hired and that I should get a lawyer to negotiate my contract.
Wow, that's totally awesome. Tell us a little bit about your character, because I love the character. There's you and a lady working at the casino. I just love it. And just kind of being a kind of a narrative towards one of the lead characters. I just love it. Can you tell us a little bit how that came about? Was there any typecasting?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, whenever we was coming up with this character, Wayne, it's Wayne and Sally. And I guess they're probably like kind of cousin, brother, sisters. Like we've been very fluid with like how everybody's related in the show, as we should be, because that's just how it is. But Wayne is he's kind of grumpy, but also like the subtext is that he genuinely cares about Regan and what it is that she's doing. That's why he gives her shit, is because he loves her. Wayne and Sally, they both treat her like garbage. Even though it's a little bit like where we talk about crabs in a bucket. We talk about this like Indian jealousy type of thing. We try to touch on those things sort of without calling it that. Except in the season finale, we finally actually call it crabs in a bucket. I love that character though. All those characters.
Well, I love the fact, and I don't know, we were talking before the show, so I don't know if I've mentioned this. I love the fact because I feel like it really has a lot of heart and it reminds me a lot of Smoke Signals. And in one way too, there's so much going on. I'm going, I got to watch that again because there's a lot of information coming out here. And during every episode, I was like really surprised. I'd go to my wife. I go, did you hear what he just said? You know, so it's really good because I feel like it's amplifying Native voice. We're still here in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Oh. Wise words from Choka Robert. I'm not Ho-Chunk, but I always like that word.
Right. And you're my Chushka, my nephew. Oh. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. I know your time's valuable. And let's talk a little bit about the other things you're working on, because this Monday, right, there's another series, a Native-centric series that you're involved in. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, hell yeah. Reservation Dogs on FX. I'm so excited for the premiere. Like, I'm so very excited for so many different reasons that would take like a day to tell you about. But like, I, as one of the writers, I get like access to what they call the dailies. And the dailies are just like, it's just when they dump all of the footage onto the server at the end of the day. And I'm allowed to like watch them. And, you know, it's just raw cuts. So it's like every single scene and it's like them setting it up and blah, 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 blah. But you really get like to see the performances of the actors and whatever. I intentionally didn't watch any of them. Ooh. Because I wanted to experience this as a weekly release. I want this to be one of my shows that, because I love that experience. I have like only a couple shows that still do that, you know, that I get to wait for. I'm like, yeah, here comes Saturday. Like, I'm going to watch my show. And, you know, with a lot of streamers, they just dump the whole season on, and you can binge it in like a day or two, you know, if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very excited to experience this show every week because it is unlike anything I have ever seen on television.
Hey, and the trailers are rocking. I'm just going, wow, what? What?
I know.
And being a big fan of Reservoir Dogs, I mean, yeah. Seeing the suits and everything, I'm going, hey, what's the deal here? But, wow, totally excited. So what are the 1491ers doing?
We're all hired. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. We're doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You go. Yeah. Ogma, do you have a question at all?
You know, I didn't have a question, but I did want to pop in, you know, talking about Rutherford Falls and the 1491s and those kinds of things. It's really an experience as a Native person to say, they just said that on TV. It takes your breath away because it's these things that are so familiar to us in our lives that are almost never portrayed accurately on the big screen. So it's breathtaking, the kind of work that you're doing. It's really beautiful, and I truly appreciate it. I've been talking about we need more real Native representation in media for a long time. So thank you for your work.
Well, and then the episode that you wrote was called
Skoden.
Oh, yeah. Right on. We won't talk about that, though. We'll keep that on the low pro, but all our Natives know what's up. So how is that experience? I mean, how is it an experience? Because you're going to be writing for Reservation Dogs, too, right? And how's that experience? We only got a minute left, but how's that experience thinking up an idea, putting it on paper, and then seeing it on video or on the screen? How is that experience? Is that like, wow?
Mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing, man. I mean, like, you do all this stuff. Like, I don't know. It's all in your head. You write it. You edit it. You talk about it. And, like, the writing experience is you write for 20 weeks. And, like, you just hope that it's still funny by the end of that. Because by then, you've edited all the jokes. You, like, and you're like, is this still a good story? I remember laughing when I first came up with this. And then you see the actors bring it to life. You see all the people involved in the production. Hundreds of people put this stuff together. They literally built a casino interior in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
It looked like a cheap-ass casino. And it looks so good.
Right.
I remember I walked in there, and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I had goosebumps by how incredible it was to see this thing form and become reality. And then to, like, turn it on TV and, like, watch it with my daughter. And she's like, looked at me. She looked at the TV. She's like, what's going on here? Like, it's truly phenomenal. And it's mind blowing.
Well, let's talk about Reservation Dogs, and we gotta fly. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And Bobby, that's coming up Monday, this Monday, right?
It's coming up this Monday, filmed entirely on location in Oklahoma. The Muskoki Creek Nation. Ooh! I'm not one of them, but, you know, I go there a lot, so.
Pini Gigi for being on.
P. Damaya for having me.
Oh, wow. Ogama, that was a lot of fun. Bobby's high energy, and really love the fact that he was able to spend some time with us. Really, really excited. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, we're going to have Robert Lilligren. So I think we're going to change the show to Robert's. Got Robert Pilot, Robert Wilson, and Robert
Dueling Lilligren. Roberts.
That's right. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. I'm part of an all-woman financial advisor team with combined experience of over 40 years. Whether it's leaving something for your loved ones, enjoying your own retirement, or giving to a favorite charity, we'll help you plan, and there's no better time than right now. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
Matt McNeil here. I've said it before, I will always own a Toyota Sienna. In my mind, it's the best vehicle available. And as I've been driving across the metro and across the country this summer, there's no vehicle I've ever driven which makes long drives easier. The Toyota Sienna is the most comfortable car I've ever driven. Roomy space for the whole family, even though the kids are getting bigger. And we can even fit our luggage, bikes, and fishing gear in the back easy. I stand by Toyotas. I think they're great vehicles, and the only place I'll buy one is Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
This is David from The David Pakman Show, where we expose the hatriots, liars, and Trumpists on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight with a low of 66, then warm and sunny on Friday with a high of 88. Cafe Latte at Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul provides an award-winning array of salads, sandwiches, and soups, treats from the bakery made fresh daily, and a pizza and wine bar. Check them out today at cafelatte.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Their number is 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And this portion of the show is also brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Get involved at mn350.org.
Well, that was a great, fun time with Bobby Wilson. I'm glad we pre-recorded that, Ogama, because I think you had about 7 edits in there of swear words, so that was awesome. the little beeps. I think he thought he was on a podcast, you know, that you could say anything you want.
In his defense, we did not warn him ahead of time that we were going to have it on the radio, so I think that was maybe something we got to remember for the next pre-recorded interview or interview with somebody to remind them.
We'll get him back on, so we'll have to double remind him, and we won't have him live. We'll pre-record him. That's awesome. Say, before we get to Robert Lilligren, who we dearly missed, and I have, because I've either missed a show or Robert's missed a show, so it's been like a month and a half since I've personally seen Robert, but I want to jump in. Lewis has a quick update before we get to Robert Lilligren. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the time, Robert and Ogma. So many Roberts on Native Roots Radio today. Just wanted to say a quick Wopi Latonka and a good job to the Pine Ridge Reservation, the Oglala Sioux Tribe. They've invested their ARPA money, I think something around the acts of $6.4 million to be invested in high-speed internet. As you know, Native American reservations, 574 federally recognized tribes, a lot of them don't have stable internet. And internet, what does internet mean? It means education. It means opportunities for people to see their doctors remotely. It covers actual small businesses as well. The government has opened a 2.5 gigahertz rural tribe LTE window in Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, Wopi Latonka, to them because they actually opened up their own high-speed internet, and Oglala is going to do the same with their ARPA money. This is funds that is designated to improve the lives of tribal communities. So let's get the internet going. I think we're talking about sovereignty and autonomy and all these things, and part of sovereignty is having actual internet that you actually control yourself, Robert.
Yeah, excellent. I just thought we should bring that up because that's a great thing, and I know my nation's dealing with that right now, and it's an urban thing too, really. And hey, I appreciate that update, and I also appreciate all your editing, Ogama, you did on Bobby Wilson's interview. But hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, working with them, and we just. Again, Robert, I've missed you, so I'm glad you're back on here. Vacations, I was working, you know, back and forth. So I don't know. It's been a month and a half since I've personally seen you, but I know you've only been off a week. So welcome back.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. It's been so long, I feel like I should call you Mr. Pilot, actually.
And, Bobby Wilson did.
Oh, good. Good to see you again, and Ogama as well. And hey, no fair having me on after Bobby Wilson, man. That's a tough act to follow.
No doubt. But hey, we got things to talk about. And, you know, there's so much to talk about. But I think one of the things, Robert, I'd like to talk to you about is kind of the morphing of what's happening with the Democratic Party. We're more progressive, right?
Well, it's interesting what's going on, but I want to run back to the ARPA conversation.
Oh, go ahead.
Just a second. I'm so glad that you took that time, Lewis, to bring that up. And also,
it's exciting.
It's super exciting. And just to remind folks that it's, like you said, Robert, it's not just a reservation conversation, but ARPA funds are flowing through states, to cities, to counties. And actually, I spent a big chunk of my middle of my day in a conversation with other local government officials. So to starting to prepare for that and that broadband conversation, just like you said, Robert, it's an urban issue too. And so there's a sort of a benefit of scaling projects, right? So if Minneapolis, St. Paul, Hennepin County, and the Ramsey County all work together to address broadband access in the core cities, then we could leverage our ARPA funds, the American Repair Plan Act, I think it is, funds. And so those funds are coming, and people should be aware of how they can best prepare, best be engaged in some of those spending decisions, because it's going to be a big chunk of money. And it's going to be an opportunity to sort of lay a different kind of framework or pathway into the future. Those funds aren't going to last forever. They'll go away. But if we're smart about it, we can create some pipelines that will endure beyond those funds that can continue to serve our people, whether they're on reservations or in cities. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I know we talk a lot of different things here on the show, but I know urban-wise and out on the res, there's ARPA funds for clean energy, and we really need to look into that and sustain that. That's exciting. The cat's driving me crazy right now. I don't know if you guys
can hear. I can hear your radio cat.
Hey.
Yeah. But the one thing, and I've just been looking at, there was kind of an I don't know how important it was really, but people are paying a lot of attention to this election that was in Ohio just this week and Tuesday. And you know, the Ohio Congresswoman Marsha Fudge went up to HUD. She's the HUD secretary now. And so there was a primary for her race, and there were two candidates competing. There were more than two, but two leading candidates who kind of represented more of the sort of moderate wing of the Democratic Party and then the more progressive wing. And they're both really great and viable candidates. And so a lot of people are looking at that race as sort of, you know, being portentous to what's going to be happening in 2022 or what's happening within the party and within progressives. And so I just think it bears paying a little attention to.
Yeah, that's a really interesting. And you know, we have all people from all over Turtle Island listening to the show, and it's great to check in nationally, Robert, like you do. It's a interesting life we live right now, isn't it?
No doubt. And so I don't know if I'm embracing the way a lot of sort of pundits are, political pundits, about this idea that this is the new, you know, the new Democratic dynamic. In the race in Ohio, the more moderate candidate won strongly by 6 points. Her name is Chantel Brown. She was running against a further left progressive, Nina Turner, who they're both former elected officials or current elected officials. Nina Turner was a big surrogate for Bernie Sanders during his campaigns. And so it's sort of being viewed as the establishment sort of versus the sort of new left. And a lot of the pundits, and especially the establishment, want to claim this as sort of the message that this moderate perspective is going to be the winning one. And so I think it's still playing out. I think it's going to play out differently in different parts of the country. But a lot of folks are looking at that race and trying to figure out where the more progressives come in. And then you see things like how effective, say, Representative Cori Bush was in convincing President Biden to extend the eviction moratorium.
Yeah.
And so there's a place. It's dynamic and constructive. The important thing is, I feel we need to all acknowledge that the real enemy is the radical right, Trumpists and things, and we need to figure out how to hold together through elections and make sure that we're putting Democrats in these offices.
Yeah, I agree.
Wanted to chime in if I could here. For those of you who don't know, Congresswoman Cori Bush, she took to the steps of the U.S. Capitol by sleeping outside of the U.S. Capitol to bring attention to the need for the extended moratorium on evictions. And a lot of people, you know, called it antics, and the publicity that was generated claimed it wouldn't change political reality, but it did. And that is the kind of politicians and people working for us in Washington that we really need happening right now. So I just wanted to make sure to give her credit for what she did and let people know, in case they weren't aware, how cool it was what she did.
Here, Ogama, thanks for lifting that up. And the authentic part is, it's her own story, right? I mean, she has been a person who has experienced homelessness. She has had to sleep outside in her life. And I just think that is so powerful. So thanks for lifting that up.
Yeah, really, that is. So I don't know. I think, are you able to stick with us for another segment, Robert?
Sure.
I want to get into, we only have a couple minutes left here, but I want to ask you, because I really don't know, and maybe we can talk about it now or even talk about it a little more. But when you talk about the Democratic Party being in a couple segments where maybe more progressive and more moderate, do we worry as politicians here in Minnesota too much about the Iron Range and what they're doing, comes to being left or right? Or is that a loaded question?
I think, you guys are up there, right? And so you're there. It's not a loaded question. It's an interesting one. I'll tell you, during my 12 years in elected office here, I just marveled at the Iron Range and how, you know, they'd go behind closed doors and fight like cats and dogs. But when they emerged from that door, they were united and they held united. And to me, it doesn't matter what party you're from. If you can do politics like that, you're going to get things done.
So we should be aware of them and really not cater, but also just be aware, because they do hold capacity in what they do, and also what happens here in St. Paul.
Right, right. And the outer parts of the state, greater Minnesota, are moving more conservative through generations. I mean, that's just a demographic reality. The urban centers and the cities and towns are becoming more progressive. So it's just kind of a shifting, right, of political power.
Do you think it's not only shifting, do you think it's messaging, or and our message, me being a progressive, isn't really hitting home to our neighbors up there?
It could be. That's the quick go to everyone. What's the messaging, right? That Democrats or progressives just aren't good at messaging. That's part of the equation, in my opinion, and I'm not the biggest expert, but I think as much as anything, it's that ability to link arms and to go forward together.
Wow, that was really good. That sounded almost like a politician. Smart. That was also Robert. Hey, we're with Robert Lilligren of NADKE, and we love talking, just shooting the bull. You know, I didn't want to say the other word because Ogham would have to beat me out with right. Bobby Wilson. But hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short message. Stay with us.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm your host, Wakanja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. We're a sad little pack today. Is it Thursday?
Sad little pack. We needed Wendy, darn it.
That's what we needed. That's why. Wendy, we're sad without you, and come back, okay?
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis, and we're just stopping in, and I want to switch gears a little bit here, and I want to talk a little bit about What's happening? Maybe just to tell our friends in Madison and Chicago a little bit about the history of the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and then what's happening right now, because it's very interesting. And our sister Courtney, I've talked to about this project and really supported it and reached out. That's talk a little bit about that, Robert, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thanks, Robert, for the opportunity. And for listeners who aren't sort of Minnesota-based or may not know, towards the end of the summer of 2018, a homeless encampment sort of sprung up right in the middle of the American Indian Cultural Corridor, the Native community here in South Minneapolis, and it just grew like crazy. At its peak, it was about 300 tents, all on this little tiny strip of property along a highway and light rail station. And there was a lot of suffering there, and it was at first especially almost exclusively Native people living there, and nobody seemed to be responding. And so the local Native orgs really stepped in, Native community stepped in to make sure that our relatives were cared for at the Wall. But so many people went by this on the highway, on the light rail every day, and saw what the living and contemporary impacts of colonization and genocide were on our community. And so suddenly people cared, right? Non-Native people cared what happened to Native people. And it really changed the whole dialogue here around our unsheltered relatives, unsheltered people in general, and how misguided our priorities and investments were, how we have no systemic way of responding. And so things have really changed. And I always just really want to credit our relatives, the suffering of our relatives at the Wall of Forgotten Natives. Yeah, there's a picture of it. You can see downtown. Well, you can't see just to the right of downtown is a $1 billion stadium. Oh, it's just right out to the right of this photo. So that's where the $1 billion Viking stadium is. And what this is, at a mile from there, maybe.
Right.
And this is the conditions people were living in that summer. And so that's kind of gone. We're having this, you know, we still have many more highly visible encampments here in the Twin Cities than we had then, but we're trying to figure out a way to best serve the people, to have a people-centered response to this unsheltered homelessness, people experiencing unsheltered homelessness. And so one of those things, that little piece of property where you saw all those tents, it's owned by the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and it's inaccessible now, it's fenced off and everything. But to the credit of the Minnesota Department of Transportation, MnDOT, they realized something important happened here, and we just can't go back to status quo, and that something needs to happen that's sort of community-centered, community-designed, and driven on this piece of property. So in preparation for that, they have contracted with the organization I work for, NACDI. We own and operate All My Relations Arts Gallery. We do a lot of arts-centric community organizing and community development work. And so MnDOT funded us to hire artists to do a community-based kind of project. And that artist is Courtney Cochran, as you mentioned. I'd really encourage people to go to the All My Relations Arts Facebook page or website to learn a little more about the project. But Courtney has just done amazing things. And so she's spelling out on the fence. This is to wrap the fence around the wall. She's spelling out, Native Americans were never homeless before 1492. And this has involved all kinds of, it's got to be hundreds of community people are painting these panels. Courtney's just done an incredible job. Courtney sort of lived or embedded within the wall and really learned the culture and community, you know, built relationships during the Wall of Forgotten Natives. She's just the perfect person to be doing this job. And so then at NACDI, we can help kind of buffer between this very community-based emerging artist, Courtney, and MnDOT, this massive state agency that could just as easily crush her as anything. And so it's been a learning experience for everyone, Courtney, the community, MnDOT especially. It's been super successful, and there's still opportunities to participate. If people want to go to the website or the Facebook page for All My Relations Arts. They're decorating these panels, each with one letter.
Right.
Native American. Yeah.
Yeah, that one letter too. I know Courtney reached out to me so I could get a hold of Lisa Bellinger and and have people come down, and they're doing a letter A in there for American Indian Movement.
Great. Excellent. You should see these panels. I've seen probably about half of them, and there's such an incredible range. Some of them are really beautiful, sort of native floral design. Some of them tell stories. There's photographs incorporated into some of them. It's really a range. And in our gallery, All My Relations Arts, you know, it's all about building capacity and supporting emerging Native artists. And those people are internationally famous now, who started their careers in our gallery. But to see Courtney really develop like this, it's just been a joy.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember Courtney during that period, too. I think she was still in school and she was doing a documentary.
She's done this documentary. Have you seen it or?
No, I haven't. But it was shown at All My Relations maybe 2 years ago. But she's a filmmaker, artist, and just an upcoming. She's one of the people we always talk about, Robert, that the young people that are going to be true leaders when you and I are long gone.
Yep. It makes me very content to see people like Courtney, to see Courtney in particular. Coming up. And yeah, I've seen a couple of different cuts of her film, and she's really sensitive about how she presents it, how it presents the residents of the Wall of Forgotten Natives. That's not exploitive in any way. And it's powerful. There were a lot of people around them that wanted to document the wall, and it was felt very extractive and exploitive. But Courtney was literally on the inside, building relationships with people. Her story is told in a really authentic way.
And she was there all the time too. Like, I think helping there and then also doing a documentary and also having people trust her, where, you know, we had national news come in and out and possibly interviewing the wrong
international people.
Right. I'd see some people up there going, I don't know if that person really speaks for the community, but, that was a weird time. I only got like 30 seconds left here, Robert, but I'm so happy we've missed you. And it's just always a great breath of fresh air and positivity when you come on. And during these times, we all need that.
Hear, hear. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to being back every Thursday. And thanks for having me. Louis Ogama, nice to see you.
Perfect. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. You know, if you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We are living on Earth, and we are Earth. We haven't been homeless. Natives haven't been homeless since 1491. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground and is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. I want to say pinigigi to Bobby Wilson for spending some time with us and making Ogama edit out all those beeps, all those swear words. And also Robert Lilligren, who we cherish and love having on. Special shout out to Lewis and Ogama for all the great news. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier, Stop Line 3, and Mask Up.